Kalila Atma प्रजापतिः किं दक्ष शिवा लॉर्ड शिवा अवलोकात् बाय सीइंग हिम अभवत् बिकेम शरत् इन द ऑटम ह्रदः लेक इवा लाइक अमलः cleansed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. At the time when Daksha saw Lord Shiva, who resides upon a bull, his heart, which was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, was immediately cleansed, just as the water in a lake is cleansed by autumn rains. Purport. Here is an example of why Lord Shiva is called auspicious. If anyone sees Lord Shiva with devotion and reverence, his heart is immediately cleansed. King Daksha was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, and yet, by seeing him with a little love and devotion, his heart immediately became cleansed. In the rainy season, the reservoirs of water become dirty and muddy. But as soon as the autumn rain comes, all the water immediately becomes clear and transparent. Similarly, although Daksha's heart was impure because of his having slandered Lord Shiva, for which he was severely punished, Daksha now came to consciousness, and just by seeing Lord Shiva with veneration and respect, he became immediately purified. So, here in this verse, it's a nice explanation of how important consciousness is. And then how the consciousness can be purified. We see here Daksha. He was very envious of Lord Shiva because, he thought that he has higher position, that he is more important, and didn't understand the real position of Lord Shiva. And then after he got severely punished, he got his goat head. Then what happened is that he had seen Lord Shiva. And then by seeing him, he immediately got purified. So that's the power of association with a devotee. Lord Shiva, who is he's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. So then, just by seeing him, one gets purified. So, now, why did Daksha didn't get purified in the first place? He had seen Lord Shiva, and then by seeing him, he got angry and envious. That's because the consciousness must be right. We, unfortunately, we have the option that we have our free will. Now, the free will should be utilized for our elevation from this material platform. But many times we misuse the free will, and then we utilize it actually for getting deeply stuck here. There was one incident which happened with Ramanujacharya. When he was with his disciples on the bank of, I think it was Kaveri, and he was taking some prasad, and a few crumbles of the prasad fell into the river. And there was a fish. The fish came, now took the remnants of the prasad, and immediately got changed into a forehand form, and then went to Vaikuntha. And the disciples, they were astonished. How is that? What is this power? Few crumbles of your prasad, no. Fish, which is low creature, takes it and goes back to Godhead. And we are taking your maha for years and years, and we are still here. So how does it work? How is it possible? So then the explanation is that we see the fish didn't have any agenda. The fish didn't have any car or house or bank account or family which would be attached to. But the fish just lay some eggs, and after that, hurry go, just take care of yourself. But so it's not, the attachment is not there, so it just follows its own nature. Just it goes, there is something floating in the water, and the nature says, just eat it. So then eats it with the neutral mind, there is no attachment, and that's enough for the soul to get liberated. But we are here stuck with our anarthas in the heart, and we are holding on them. Even though we know they are there, but still we are unwilling to give it up. That's our free will. In the process of chanting, in the process of anartha nivritti, we will see each and every anartha. If we go minutely into it, that's up to us. Or if we just fully surrender to the holy name, and the holy name just Krishna removes all the anarthas, and we just, I don't want anything, I just want to serve you, Krishna. So then it goes everything. But if we want, okay, that goes the anartha. That's anartha for the really huge big house which I wanted. But at least small house. Please, no, don't take everything. What will I do if I don't have a house? We are holding on it, and it's it's voluntarily. We decide what we want to hold on. And then, that's up to us. That's the free will. We can decide, well, we don't want it. Krishna, help me, get rid of the anarthas. I just want to chant the holy name and serve you, nothing else. Great, if you want to do that, then no problem. Chant the holy name without offenses, great, it will be done. But then what happens is that when it comes to, okay, I really like gulab jamuns. And if it's prasad, it's better, but if it's not, I cannot hold myself anyway. I will eat it anyway. I don't care. That's anartha. Like Srila Prabhupada said, even the taste of one rasgulla will keep you in the material world. So now, if we don't care if it's prasad or not, then it's just a taste for the gulab jamun, not the taste for mahaprasad. That's anartha. Now, are we willing to give up this anartha or not? Because if we give up this anartha, what happens? Oh, if I lose the taste for gulab jamun, that won't be me anymore. I was known that I can eat hundreds of gulab jamun. But if I give up the anartha, give up the taste for that, what if I lose the taste? And then I will be somebody else. What will I be? And now I'll be afraid. Because what will be my shelter? What will be my identity? I don't know. So better not. Let's take it step by step, just easy, slowly, slowly. Maybe later. That's our free will, and that's the problem. If we have no faith in Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, it's unlikely we have at that time faith in Krishna, faith that we can surrender to Him. But without developing the faith, we won't be able to go back to Godhead. So we have to work on ourselves. We have to work on, now, why do we have such a... Why do we choose this way? Why do we choose this free will? Why not the other one? It's the fear that we lose something. Fear that we lose identity. The fear that we will lose our shelter. That's the problem which we are facing. And it's it takes proper development. It takes energy. See, when we are born, then what happens? Are we shelterless or do we have shelter? Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sharanagati, he describes when he is in the womb, the child is in the womb, suffers, and promises, yes, as soon as I get out of here, it's a painful situation, as soon as I get out of here, I'm going back to you, Krishna. No, forget all this, this is nonsense. But then as soon as we are born, then what happens? Then we have the mother, and we have the relatives, and they are all pampering us, taking care, and then we feel all very nice. So actually, well, maybe it's not so bad here. And it was before. Okay, forget the one when I was in the womb. Now this is the different situation. Now present counts. Yes, then not present, it's very good. So it will be good forever. So let me stay here. So we get sheltered. And very nicely, the mother takes shelter, gives us shelter. And as we grow, then the father is there. He provides shelter for the mother, he provides shelter for us. Then we go to the teacher. He gives us shelter. He teaches us various subjects. And then, if we grow this way, then we understand, yes, shelter, it's the proper way. I must have faith that the authority who takes care of me gives shelter. If I have faith, then with that faith I can surrender to Guru and have full faith that my Guru will take me back to Godhead. So with that shelter, when I surrender and I experience what shelter is, then I know what I'm looking for. That's very important point. We need to know what is shelter to recognize shelter, to recognize what we are looking for. So if we say that we are not taking shelter at lotus feet of Krishna, what does that mean? That's the ultimate shelter which we as a spirit soul can take shelter of, and then we can be permanently out of this material world serving Krishna. But if we don't know what shelter, if, for example, then our mother or our father or the teacher or we have no guru, anywhere it's broken, then what will be our fate? That we actually can take shelter. our faith will be diminishing. We will think that we can take care of ourselves. We don't need guru. We don't need teacher. I can teach myself. I can study. I have no problem. I can understand everything. That's the feeling which we get, that because we have no faith to surrender to the authority. But if we come to that position, then what is our position? Where do we belong in Varnashrama? If we are the students, if we are the brahmachari, then there is no way how brahmachari can be independent. He is fully dependent on his teacher. So based on that, he gets his knowledge and he gets his realizations. Then when he progresses, then he knows what shelter. He progresses, he becomes a grihastha. Then knowing what shelter, he can give shelter. He gives shelter to the wife, he gives shelter to the child. They experience what shelter is, and then that way they will continue experiencing taking and giving. But if the person does not get shelter, doesn't accept shelter, then what happens? When he enters the grihastha ashram, then he doesn't know what should he give. He doesn't know how to behave. He runs away. He doesn't take care. He wants to be alone. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. He doesn't want to get involved in child or wife. No, he's a devotee. He's independent. He must do things the way he wants. But how will he be able to find out what his duties are and actually how he is going to surrender to the Lord? That's again our free will. We have to endeavor. We have to endeavor to get properly situated, and we must know what it is. What is properly situated? And then we can act. But if we are unable to discriminate and to see what we are supposed to do, then where do we end up? Some devotees, then they claim to be brahmacharis, but independent brahmacharis, right? They just go and they have their own apartment, they have their own job, they make money, but they will not get married because that's a lot of responsibilities and spending a lot of money on that. So that way, it seems like they get the best of all. They don't have to be dependent on anybody, not listen to any authority. They can do whatever they want and they have money to enjoy, but they don't have to take responsibility over somebody because that's too much work. So that's neither brahmachari nor grihastha. It's in between. Like a bachelor. But how will that help one go to back to Godhead? As a brahmachari, following duties of a brahmachari, following the authorities and instructions of the authorities, brahmachari realizes that this is not the place to be, he goes back to Godhead. As a grihastha, he follows the duties of a grihastha. He takes care, provides what needs to be done. He has to work really hard. At the end of the life, he also realizes, this place, it's not where I'm supposed to be. he realizes the same thing, he goes back to Godhead. But as a bachelor, suddenly what happens? What does he realize? Well, I do my job, I get money, I can enjoy the money, and I can be responsible for no one. So, actually, looking at it, the material world is not so bad. I can enjoy. I'm happy here. And such person at the end of the life, what does he think? Let's take birth again here. It's good. No realization. So the Varnashram gives us the opportunity that we can realize we don't belong here to this material world. But you have to follow one of the Varnas, or one of the Ashrams. And as Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita, that how does one elevate from the material platform? By Swadharma, the following one's duties. So we have to find the duties within the Varnashrama. So knowing what we are supposed to do and how, and then our duties, how we are supposed to execute them, then we will be able to elevate ourselves. If we don't do that, and we follow somebody else's duty, we don't end up properly. Arjuna tried to do that. He tried to argue with Krishna. He should not fight, because he's going to kill brahmanas and teachers, and it's sinful. But Krishna, he cleared it out. Cleared it out for him. It is your duty to fight. And if you follow your duties, no sin will come to you. You benefit, and you do it for Krishna, you perform devotional service. So this is something which we have to very much be aware of, contemplate, and then how do we get out of this material situation? We need to know our duties. We need to know what we are supposed to do. And we ourselves will have to choose how or what do we do. We have to know. So, how do we come to know that? Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. These three things. When we perform activities, and they must be supported by Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. If they are, then we know we are doing our duty. Performing our duty, we will elevate ourselves. Not doing our duties, this is no way we achieve the highest goal. So then we have to make that clear in our mind. We have to make clear the goal in our mind. What do we want to achieve? If we don't have goal, we don't have any vision, we don't have any idea, what are we going to do? See, important, we have a little, no, we have small children. That small children, generally they don't know what they are supposed to do. We need to show them. But sooner the children know what they are supposed to do, then greater personalities they become. Because they know what they are supposed to focus on, they know how they are going to go about it, and when they are young, they have the drive, the passion to do what needs to be done. They are very enthusiastic, and they go farther. But people who have no goal, they don't know what it's supposed to be done, what am I supposed to achieve? Or what will I do in my life? Okay, maybe 30, 40 year old, I still don't know, what will I do? I have no idea. I like this, but I like that also. Oh, what to do? People not confident, not knowing what to do, undecided. How far they will achieve? What will they achieve? They don't know. So we have to make that decision. What do we want to do? We need to know. Make the vision. How do we achieve it? And then make our life such a way so then we do achieve it. Then we can become successful, not otherwise. Any questions? Yes. Okay, when the child is small, how can we now implant the goal in him, right? Okay, you see, little children, they are generally, they are more flickery, the mind, than the adults. At least, no, generally. Then, there is like interest lasts sometimes for days, some for weeks, when they get elder, even some months. And what we need to do, we need to be able to read the child. If he is into helping you with cleaning, so then you take it that he wants to help you with cleaning. Now, you do it such a way so then he doesn't lose his interest, but don't think that it will last long time. Like, he comes, you are cleaning a room, right? You are wiping it. And he comes and says, no, mommy, I want to help. So then you give him the rag and you go and do something else. And expecting that it's going to be done. No, that will be foolish. We would, okay, take another small rag and then wipe this small place. And he may take as much time, you know, to wipe the small place, the corner, as we take to wipe the whole floor. But then after he does it, we will find, you know, we'll find appreciation for him. That's very nice. You had done some devotional service. That's very good. Now, tomorrow I will be also wiping. If you want, you come and help me. Not making compulsory. Okay, now we know how to wipe, so from now on you are doing and I am retiring. No, they want to be doing things together with adults because they see the adults as somebody what they want to achieve. So then we will encourage them. Okay, so we may get some small bucket for him, small rag, and then give, okay, you do this part of the room and I will do this part. And they will be happy doing. And then maybe for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, they will be doing it. And after that, then we get all enthusiastic. Okay, so then they can really do the whole house and then I don't have to do. And then suddenly we see one day, no, okay, you want to help me with cleaning? No, I don't want to. And then we see, no, but you have to. I'll try something more. The enthusiasm is there. With the enthusiasm, he gets the determination, yes, I will do this. And he will be pushing, mommy, let me try this. Okay, try it yourself. And if it doesn't come out, then there is no need to, no, scream or lament that, oh, look how much waste you did. No. Okay, it didn't happen this time. Next time we do it again, and you have to be more careful. When there are the words of encouragement, then the enthusiasm is, yes, I will do it again and properly. And that way, then I will become better and better. And that, what happens is when he does it and other people like it, then he gets the enthusiasm, he gets the realization from it. So the realization comes, and in the form of, yes, I did something really nice. I did something the way other liked it. I want to do this because I want to feel important. I want to feel that I can help others. You see, it starts, generally the children like to do what they see us doing something, so they want to help. But we tell, no, you are too small. Go, go, go. Play with your toys. I have to do it myself because that's only for adults. So rather than doing that, then we should encourage them. Okay, well, come and help me. I will be very happy if you come and help me. And they will be happy doing it. But we will have to do it with them, not alone. And they will gain the experience. And I'm saying, maybe after 2 weeks they figure out they don't want to do it. That's not what they like. So they will do something else. They see cows, okay, I'll take care of cows. And after some time, no, it's too much. Okay, I'll do something else. So when the children are small, we cannot expect that they will be able to understand responsibility and do it. We have to do it with them. But when they are 5, at that time for the boys and even for the girls, then they must be able to take some responsibility. At least maybe wash your clothes every day. Or take care of small garden. Plant some seeds and take care of them. You have to water them every day. You have to take the weeds out. They must see some results. Small children must see some results. Either that something comes up or people are happy with me, what I'm doing. They appreciate it. So that's, we have to be able to read the child. We have to be able to see what at the time he likes to do. And then we must encourage him and to do, for the time being, to do that. But if he wants to do something else, we should not get attached to our idea that he must do that now all the time. Or we should also be very careful not to put our own ideas. Like, I want him to be a doctor, but he wants to be a musician. He likes to play musical instruments. No, don't play now. Now you study these books because you need to become a doctor. I don't want to become a doctor, but I want you to become a doctor. Then he may do that because he may listen to us, but maybe not for too long. Maybe after some time he will figure out, I really don't want to be the doctor. So when he gets separated, when he is studying, so then he will purposefully drop the study and he will go to music school because that's what he really likes. So we should be able to understand the needs and the desires of the child and try to, from the very young age, to encourage them to develop in those according to Guru Sadhu Shastra. So they get experience, they get the taste or distaste, whatever it will be. But they will know what they want to do and what they don't want to do. And they will be doing it accordingly, and we should try to emphasize, we should try to facilitate it. Hare Krishna. Another question? From Radhika Kishore from Gurgaon. Do we have to force ourselves to give up anarthas or wait for the gradual process of cleansing while chanting the holy name? Where does one draw a line? Okay, see, the thing is that if we chant the holy name itself has the power to remove all the anarthas from the heart. But our free will may be even more powerful. That's the problem. So So if we are determined that we don't want to keep the anarthas in the heart, they will disappear automatically. There's no need to do anything about it. But if we are not sure about, and if we are stuck, if we are holding on the anarthas, then at that moment, then the anarthas may not fully go or not at all, depends on our desire. Krishna will not interfere with our own desires. If we don't want to give it up, then Krishna will not take it. So, where to draw the line is we have to be able to surrender. If we surrender to the Holy Name, so to the extent we surrender, to the extent we can give up our anarthas. And the process also, sometimes devotees wonder, when I came to Krishna consciousness, then I was chanting Holy Name, and then it was so wonderful, so nice, and I was feeling so happy. And then now after chanting for some time, now I feel that I'm getting actually worse and worse. Now, how is that? It's very simple. Because before that, we were ignorant. We did not know how much anarthas we have in the heart. By chanting the Holy Name, then we do come to see the anarthas in the heart. And then if we do not give those anarthas up, they come back to the heart. But now we consciously know what they are. So before we were ignorant, didn't know that they exist. And then ignorance is bliss, right? So then we were just blissfully, you know, enjoying. But now we know what is that. We didn't give up willingly. We did not give it up for out of fear or whatever. So we know it's in the heart. And now, how did it come to the heart? It wasn't there before. That's what we think, because we didn't see it. So then, some may say, well, maybe the chanting of the Holy Name bring the anarthas. That's our foolishness. So we have to be able to understand the process. And then if we are capable of surrendering, we are capable of giving up the anarthas, then they will automatically go away by the chanting of the Holy Name without the offenses. There's no doubt. Okay, and then another one, Chatur Devi from Chennai. Do the eternally liberated soul also have free will? Do the devotees in the Goloka Dham also make use do their free will? The free will is always there. Just how do we use it? In the conditional state, we use it for our senses, for our body, to enjoy ourselves. And in the liberated state, in the Goloka, in the spiritual life, in the spiritual world, then we also use the free will, but we use it for pleasure of Krishna, pleasure of the devotees. See, first we have to define also what actually free will is. Now, we may say, or you may go to some people and they say, no, karmis, right? And then they will say, you guys are nonsense, no? You are so bound, you follow four godly principles. You cannot enjoy. I am free. I can drink whenever I want. I can smoke, I can have sex, I'm free, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. But is that so? Okay, if you are so free, so why don't you stop smoking? Why don't you stop drinking? I don't want to. That's the common answer. But is that true? Can the person stop smoking so easily? He cannot. He is fully bound by it. He is under the mode of nature. He cannot. It's very difficult. But due to the, no, he feels he is free. But that person is truly bound. Person who avoids anything which binds him to the material world, he is free. So devotees are free. So how do you use your free will? If you use your free will to get out of this material world, your free will, okay, I follow four godly principles. I will chant the holy name. I want to please Krishna. I want to please his devotees. Then you will go up. You will go out of this material world. But if you use your free will, well, anyway, I have the taste to smoke, so I'll just smoke now. That's not really free will. He has to do that. But that makes him feel that he is free. And then after that, after many years doing so, then he gets a bad liver, he gets bad lungs, he is coughing, he is sick. No. And some people, they get up in the morning and without drinking first, they cannot do anything. They are so conditioned. They are shaking before they take a little bit of alcohol and then they feel normal. They need to have certain level of alcohol in their blood to feel normal. So what freedom is this? These people are bound. But people who are capable of transcending all this binding, those are free. Any question? Yes.
How can we as parents have the proper discipline? Because the parenting children is a very elaborate subject matter. Like children constantly are in need for different types of care or engagement. So how do we combine our need for sadhana, our duties, our job, our maintaining the family job, all these things with taking care of the children and make sure that they are fully engaged and they are, their tendencies are dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, that they get the taste for spiritual life?
It's definitely not the ideal. No, parents should be proper. The parents should know how to bring up the child based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. Then if the parents can do that, then they give samskaras to the child, and the child, it's very fortunate. Now, if they cannot do that, they don't do that because they don't value this or this and that for whatever reason, then it will affect the child. So it is the responsibility of the parents to bring the children properly. Like there was one prisoner, and he was waiting for his execution, and he wanted to. Now he was on the death row, and he wanted to speak with his mother. So they called his mother, and then they gave him a few minutes so they could talk together. And then he said he wanted to whisper something, to her ear. So then she comes close. Okay, what do you want to say? And then she comes close, he bit off her ear. And then she starts screaming. And then, why did you do that? I always did the best for you. I always try the best. And then you are repaying me by this. Why did you do that? And then he said, yes, you say the best. But you never cared for me. You allowed me to do whatever I wanted. Whatever nonsense I wanted to do, you allowed me. You never scolded me. You never corrected me. And because of that, now I'm going to die. It's your fault. So then the mother may feel like by letting the child do whatever he wants, that's the best. But that's how it may end up. The parents must know. The children must be not. These are the borders, and then within the border they must be. If they do something wrong, they get punished. If they don't get punished, they will try to do something more wrong. But this is the responsibility of the parents. And when the parents are responsible, they see how much and how far they can take care of the children. Knowing that up to certain age they can take care, but after that somebody else must, because they are too familiar and the children exploit the parents. So then, knowing that, then they must give them education. And it is difficult for the parents to give the children education. It's more difficult than for a teacher who can give. That's all responsibility of the parents. And then become the responsibility of the teacher that he is properly educated. But if the parents decide, well, no, I don't want him to go to the school because he is so nice. And he is nice until he is 10. When he turns 11, he doesn't recognize his mother. He becomes very naughty. And he doesn't want to listen to the mother. And then she, okay, now it's good time then. Okay, you go to the school. Now we are not behaving properly. It's too late. The teacher cannot do anything for the child. Not at that moment. So, that's the responsibility. So, if the parents are trained and they know what to do, it's a fortune for the child. If the parents don't know, the child is going to be affected. But at least, even if they don't know what to do, they should then try to seek Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and then be able to apply it as much as they can. Do whatever they can, caring for the child. Not out of sentiment, but actually out of true affection.
My question is what? Time-wise. Time-wise, how do you combine, no?
Sorry?
Time-wise.
Time-wise?
Time. Uh-huh. Because sometimes you have other responsibilities and you don't have the chance to be with the children enough time or be always able to meet with all the...
Time, mean by years, the nature of the boys will be not similar among the boys. The nature of the girls will be similar among the girls. So time-wise, you have to see how all the children are. So if they are capable of going to the school and I'm not capable of taking care of them, then I must engage them now in proper activities so they study properly. Now, if they are too young, then yes, I'm there kind of like, I just take care, I do. Now, if there is no proper school for them, I must figure out myself. I sacrifice and I do the home study for them or anything, you know, to make sure they get proper education. But it must be properly arranged. If they can go to a school where, you know, like a public school, and they can take advantage of that, great. If they cannot and they must study in small groups, then I must arrange for that. I must see that they get properly educated. As a parent, that's what I must do. Because as Chanakya also says, no, don't become a parent, don't become a king, or don't become a guru or a teacher if you cannot elevate your subjects to a higher platform. So being a parent is a great responsibility. It's an immense responsibility. So we have to, before becoming parent, then we have to also have an idea of what do we do, how do we take care. And we must be open to, various alternatives, because the children, they are also individuals. We want the children to be one way, but if they want to be different way, they will be different way. We may try our best, whatever we can do, and that's it. If they want to become something else, there's nothing we can do about it. But at least we do our duty to do our best to show him what he should do. Bring him up in Krishna consciousness. But if he is going to remain Krishna conscious after he's 16, we cannot guarantee. We can only hope. And then more affection and more attention we give him, then more attention and affection he will be able to give later to his wife, to his children, to others. Yeah. You have some questions?
What is the duty, what is our duty in Vanaprastha time?
Vanaprastha?
Yeah.
Well, during the Vanaprastha, then the husband is generally living on the site of either the village or the city. No, he's not involved much with the social scene as a grihastha is. The wife is still around. The wife, serve him, but he is more preparing now for the sannyas. That means he is trying to study, trying to apply what he has studied, and earning for realization. So he is not connected very much with the social scene, but he's like on the border of it. So he can more dedicate himself to Krishna consciousness, like make programs, invite devotees to the house, and have kirtans, bhajans, and if he becomes proficient, or he is a good singer, or he gives nice classes, so he can go around himself and then give lectures, give seminars, talk about his experience, his realization from grihastha life. Take the grihastha, help the grihasthas. No, being helpful, being engaged in the scene, but not as a grihastha. It's like in between. And when then he matures from that, then he takes sannyas, and then he just becomes fully just traveling and preaching. And the vibe when he is as a Vanaprastha, she is with him, helping, but when he is sannyasi, then she is on her own, and she is taken care of by the children. So then the son should be there, and then he should take care of the mother, but the husband, he is a sannyasi, and he is not connected with the family, not anymore. Sorry? No, the wife can live separately. If she wants to, she will be like a widow, or if the sons are there, so then the sons provide the shelter, whatever the husband will not, because the husband, now he takes the sannyas, so he renounces all the social life that way. So then he is not going to take care of the wife. So if the wife needs to be taken care of, then the sons do that. But if she prefers, then she can also renounce, and she can just go maybe to Vrindavan, or go to some holy place, or Mayapur here, and then spend time with the, doing devotional service for the deities or for the devotees. But they are not together. The husband and the wife, they are not together. Hare Krishna. Grotra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jainitai Gaur Pemanande.
Hare Krishna,